11 tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. I know Brother Grant's been preaching through this chapter, and we started a few weeks back in the early part, and he's been taking care of a lot of these and doing a great job. Amen. I appreciate the Word of God, and I'm going to preach tonight on one of these heroes of the faith. I was down in just outside of New Orleans Monday and Tuesday, and down kind of in the Gulfport area, and I went to church. It's amazing how God works sometimes. I went to church on Monday night, thought I knew what I was going to preach, and while I was sitting there, the Lord just gave me a verse out of this chapter to preach on, and so I preached that on Monday night, and then last night, I felt led to go back to this chapter and preach what I'm going to preach to you tonight. Of course, is what we've been dealing with. But I tell you, the Word of God is alive, isn't it? Amen. And God knows what we need, when we need it. And I'm thankful not just for truth, but timely truth. Amen. And that's the thing about sometimes systematic preaching. It's amazing how just preaching through a chapter or preaching through a subject, how that sometimes it just falls right when you need something, the right thing. You know what that is? That's this book. Amen. And so it comes around right when we need it. Right in the divine appointment, divine time, and I believe God's able to do that. Hebrews chapter 11, if you're able to stand, just want to read one verse of Scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 22. Hebrews 11 and verse number 22. The Bible said, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Lord, I ask you tonight in Jesus' name, God, that you would bless us these next few moments. Help us to, Lord, be obedient to you. May we not say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But God, I pray that you be glorified and magnified in this service as you already have in singing, but now in preaching. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And God, I pray that we would do your will in the invitation hour. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, whenever I read this verse, I see several things within it tonight concerning faith. And we know that faith is the subject of Hebrews chapter number 11, and that these characters are illustrations of God proving the principle and the point of faith. And so when we come to verse number 22, that's what we've seen. We see the principle of faith as it begins like most verses do, as it says, by faith. There is by faith Isaac, and by faith Jacob, and by faith Abraham, and by faith Noah, and by faith Enoch, and Abel, and so forth and so on, by faith Sarah. And here there's by faith Joseph, because that is the principle of this chapter. And it's not only the principle of this chapter, but it is the principle of every Christian, every believer's life. That's how we live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, that's the only way to really live for God, is to live by faith. Amen. If you're not living by faith, you're living by sight. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there is the principle of faith. And then in our text tonight, there's the person of faith. There is Joseph here, by faith Joseph. Now, when we consider Joseph tonight, we must think about him, because Joseph is, there's nobody in the Old Testament that would be a greater type of the Lord Jesus than Joseph. In fact, if you take Joseph's life and you take Daniel's life, these are the only two men in the Old Testament that the Bible doesn't say anything about their faults or their failures or their sins. Now we know they were not perfect. We know that they were not sinless, but the Bible doesn't say anything about Joseph's failures or his sins. And so there is this person of faith. And then there's the period of faith. Notice the Bible says here, by faith Joseph, when he died. Amen. And so we know that Joseph lived by faith, but the Bible says also he died by faith. Amen. I'm telling you, faith is not just good when you're living, but thank God it'll be good when you're dying. Amen. And here we see the period that the Bible is highlighting about Joseph's life, a life of faith. We see that by faith Joseph when he died. And then there's the profession of faith. Joseph is going to say something here. He's going to make mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now that's important, because when you think about it, Joseph Joseph dies at 110 years of age. It is 200 years, some 200 years later, before Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. So Joseph is going to make a proclamation. He's going to make a profession, and he's going to make mention of the children of Israel leaving out of Egypt. How could he do that? He's not seen it happen. He's not going to be there when it does happen. He's going to do it by faith. Amen? And there is the profession of faith. You see, if God works it in, thank God it will work out. Amen? Works do not produce faith, but faith will produce some works in our life. And then there's the patience of faith. Notice the Bible says here that he gave commandment concerning his bones. Now that took patience, didn't it? Because Joseph is talking about a day that he will never live in, and a day that he will never see. He's talking about it by faith. Faith will allow patience in our life. When we trust God, we not only trust Him, but a lot of trusting God involves waiting on God. We want our will. We want things to be done. And even when we know the will of God, we sometimes are ready for that will to transform. But God is not working on our timetable. God is not working on our schedule tonight. And living by faith involves patience. You say, preacher, I believe God for something or something in my life. Well, then listen, just exercise faith, but also exercise the patience to believe that God not only will bring it to pass, but He'll bring it to pass at the right time that it's needed in your life. Amen. There's the patience of faith. But then I want to look at this one thought tonight from this verse. There's the proof of faith tonight. The Bible said he gave commandment, notice this, concerning his bones. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on the bones of Joseph. The bones of Joseph. It's the proof of Joseph's faith. You say, what do you mean? Well, Joseph makes mention here concerning the children of Israel, and then he backs it up with that they're going to leave the promised land, but he backs it up with a commandment. He says, when that day comes and you leave this, you leave Egypt and you go out to the land that God has promised you, he said, I want to give you a commandment. He said, I want you to take my bones with you. Now, why would he say that? Doesn't that sound like a strange thing? I mean, because Joseph will be dead, his spirit will be with God, and you know as well as I do, it doesn't matter what happens to this body, this flesh, or these bones when we leave this walk of life. If I was to die tonight, this body that you're looking at, it's just a tabernacle, it's just a tent, amen? I'll be gone, and I'll not be here. You might come by the casket, and you might visit my bones, you might visit my body, but that's not the real me that you're looking at. Thank God I'll be in the presence of God. I'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I remember years ago, this is a true story. I remember years ago, a lady and her husband bought a plot, and I'm not going to tell you because it's right around here, but they bought a cemetery plot, Brother Laddie, and he told me about it. They bought two plots, and then they went back and they bought two more plots because the first two plots that they bought was down there by the road, the highway. And his wife got to thinking about that one day. She said, I don't want to be buried down there. She said, because it's too noisy down there next to the end of the road. And they went back and bought two more plots. You say, how'd you know that? Because he's trying to sell them other two plots. Amen. I didn't want to burst her bubble, but she's not going to hear a thing on this side. Amen. But thank God if you're saved, you'll see and hear a whole lot on the other side. Amen. But why? If Joseph is already gone, why would Joseph want his bones taken up out of Egypt? I'll tell you why. Because the bones of Joseph was an example. They were an encouragement of the proof of faith tonight. Amen. Now these bones are important because four times in the Word of God they're mentioned. And tonight with each one of those times that they are mentioned, if you want to mark them, you can. It highlights, it represents something tonight concerning this chapter. You say, what do you mean? Well, the first time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 50. I want to say tonight the bones of Joseph represents here in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 24, if you're writing it down, it represents tonight a life of faithfulness. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 24, the Bible says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and here it is, and God will surely visit you. There's that faith. And bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph dies, and while Joseph is getting ready to die on his deathbed, Joseph gives them these instructions that we read about here at Hebrews chapter 11. He makes it clear. He says, I die. He knows he's about to leave this walk of life. And he said, when I leave, he said, God will surely visit you. That's the faith that Joseph had. But he said, when you leave, he said, I want you to take my bones. Why? Those bones tonight represent a life of faithfulness. You see, when you look at Joseph's life, that's what we see. That's what the children of Israel saw. They carried those bones through the wilderness for 40 years. And for 40 years, they carried those bones around. What did it represent? It represented a man that had lived for God, a man that had lived a life of faithfulness. You know, that's what God wants us to be tonight. And he wants us to be faithful. Amen? You see, that's why it's important. You're here, and I commend you for it. That's why it's important to come to church on Wednesday night and to show up for Sunday school and to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and during revival nights. Why? Because it's not about a one-time service. It's about living a life of faithfulness. Amen? You know, a church can't do anything if the congregation is not faithful. And if you're sitting here tonight and say, preacher, I want God to use me. Well, he's not going to use you if you won't be faithful. I think about preachers going out to preach. You can't pastor a church if you're not faithful. How could you expect to have faithful people if you won't be faithful when you're not a pastor, not a preacher? Amen? If you want to be a missionary, if you're not going to be faithful to give to missions, then you can't be a missionary. Amen? If you're not going to be faithful to go out and pass out tracts and go on visitation, you can't be a missionary. If you won't be faithful to God here, you won't be faithful to God wherever God calls you to. And as a member, God wants us to be faithful. And I appreciate you being faithful Wednesday in and Wednesday out. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not for a week. It's not for a year. It's not for 5 or 10 years, but it's our life. Amen. When we come to the end of the way, he may not say to us, well done, thou good and talented, or well done, thou good and popular. But if I could just hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it'll be worth every mile of the trip. Hallelujah. I want to be faithful, don't you? And tonight, that's what that means. Joseph was faithful. Think about this. Joseph lived for God. And he believed God in spite of the hate. You know, his brothers hated him. That's terrible when your brothers hate you. And Joseph, but in spite of that, he still believed God. He didn't get bitter because his brothers hated him. You know, family may turn against you, but the Lord's never done you wrong. He lived for God in spite of the hurt. I mean, he knew what it was to be hurt. I don't think there's any deeper hurt than what Joseph experienced. He was sold into slavery by his own brethren. The brethren sold him out. Sometimes the brethren will sell you out. Now I'm going to tell you something. Joseph was sold out to somebody else before the brethren ever sold him out to Potiphar. Amen? You say, who is that? He was sold out to God. And when you're sold out to God, it makes all the difference. Amen? He'd already given his life wholeheartedly to God. I'm saying tonight a life of faithfulness. Joseph was faithful in spite of the hurt. He was faithful in spite of the hardships of life. He did not allow the pit or Potiphar's house. He didn't allow the prison. He didn't allow everything. He didn't even let the palace, the good things of life. He didn't let those things keep him from being faithful. Joseph lived a life of faithfulness. And I want to say tonight it's still important that you and I are faithful to God. Amen? It's still important that we be faithful in all areas of our life. Amen? It's not what people see that determines whether or not we're faithful. It's what God knows. Now, Joseph was not perfect. Just like Peter, he denied the Lord, but he never betrayed him. Peter fell down, but he never fell out. The Bible said, a just man falleth 7 times, but, that's not the end of the verse, he riseth up again. What is it that gets a man up that keeps falling? It's faith. How can a man that falls all the time even be called just? Well, the Bible said, the just shall live by what? Faith. You see, if you want to live a life of faithfulness tonight, God is not asking you and I to live a sinless life. He knows we cannot do that. He's not asking us to try to live a perfect life. He knows that we cannot do that. God is not sitting up in heaven tonight watching and just waiting for you and I to mess up so that he can come down hard on us. That's not the way you treat your children. That's not the way you raise your children. And it's certainly not the way God raises his. Amen? He knows we're going to blunder. He knows we're going to stumble. He knows that we're going to come up short. But in spite of all that, what he wants us to do is to get right back up and keep on going. Amen? He wants us just keep on serving God. Just keep on being faithful. And friend, when it comes to the end of the way, we don't remember people for their talents. We don't remember people for the trophies that they receive in life or the accolades that people give to them. You know what we remember people for? We remember faithful men and faithful women of God. Is that right tonight? You could name 5 preachers. Some were well known, some were not well known. But what all 5 of them would have in common, 5 preachers that influenced your life, you know what they have in common? Some you could call their name and everybody would know them. Some you could call their name and perhaps nobody in this room would know them. But what all 5 of them would have in common is that they were men who were faithful. You see, God uses people in spite of their personalities, their abilities. God is not looking for people that have a lot to offer. God is looking for people that will just say, you know what? I'll be faithful. We need that in this hour, don't we? We need men and women that'll work jobs and women that will help raise children that'll just be faithful to the task. You might be a stay-at-home mom, and sometimes you feel like your job is not important. I'm going to tell you, raising children for God is the most important job I can think of in 2025. Being a godly mother, being a godly influence, being a godly wife, being a godly husband that punches a clock and lives clean and comes home to his family and loves his family at the end of the day and pays tithes and gives to missions and supports the church. I tell you, the church can't survive on women alone. Amen. You got to have some men. Isn't that right? And not just men, but spiritual men that love God and will be faithful to the house of God. I'm thankful we got some men. Thank God for some young ladies and some young men. And I say, you stay with it. Amen. You live a life of faithfulness to God. Amen. Be faithful. That's what those bones represented in Genesis 50. And then I think about Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 19. We find these bones again. They not only represent a life of faithfulness, but they represent a leader who followed. Because Exodus 13, 19, we find the bones of Joseph, but this verse isn't as much about Joseph as it is Moses. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Moses is getting ready to make the journey now. They're fixing to leave, and they're going to the Red Sea to cross over. And when I think about this verse of Scripture in Exodus 13 and verse 19, when the bones of Joseph is mentioned a second time, I see here the person of the past meant something to Moses, because the Bible says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph. You know, it would have been very easy for Moses to say, hey, there's a lot of people we're leading out of Egypt here, and we got a lot of stuff we're taking with us, and you know, we can't do anything with these bones. And I know Joseph wanted to go, and I know Joseph gave a commandment, but that was a different air. That was a different time. And so we're just going to leave them bones where they're at. But that's not what Moses did. You see, the person of the past meant something to Moses. Amen. What I'm saying to you, those that have lived for God before us and those that have trusted God before us and those that have walked by faith and lived a life of faithfulness before you and I did, they ought to mean something to us. Amen. My heritage, thank God, our Christian heritage. It means something, doesn't it? Those that have been faithful, they're gone. And their bodies are out in the silent city of the dead. And the only thing left in this world is their bones. But I tell you, we should never disgrace them. We should hold the same row. We ought to live by the same convictions and standards. Am I telling the truth tonight? I'm telling you, we ought to serve God just as fervently as those that have went on before us. Amen. You see, the person of the past meant something to Moses. Preachers of the past, godly men and women of the past, they ought to mean something to us, amen? We ought to look back and we ought to learn and we ought to thank God. I know we can't live in the past, but we ought to look in the past and say, Lord, thank you for those faithful saints, those that sit where we're sitting at tonight, those that started this church in 1961. Brother Berman Cape that pastored here for 37 years. Sister Cape, who is in her 90s now, still in the nursing home, living out her days. Brother Jack and Sister Barbara sitting here tonight, and others that have been faithful down through the years, and those that have been here for, I tell you, it ought to mean something to us tonight. We'll say the person of the past meant something. The principle of the past. He says in this verse, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel. You know, that oath not only meant something to Joseph, but it meant something to Moses. Those that have had, you know, we believe Bible convictions tonight, don't we? We believe Bible doctrine and we believe Bible principles. And I'll say tonight that there are things that faithful men taught us, and they passed things down to us, and we ought to cling to it. We ought to hold to it, amen. Hey, it is tradition tonight, but it's truth also. And we ought to hold to the truths, and we ought to hold to the traditions. I'm talking about we still believe in a pulpit. Can I get an amen right there? We still believe in having church on Wednesday night. I don't care how many people cancels church on a Wednesday night. We're still going to have church, amen. Listen, we're not having small groups, and we're not going to, listen, I may get in some trouble right here, Brother Laddie, but I know you'll back me up. Listen, we're not sending everybody off to a gym somewhere to go shoot basketball while the old people have church, amen. Listen, I like cookouts, but we're not doing a big cookout on Wednesday night and just sitting around and enjoying Jesus. No, no, no. We're going to sing the old songs of Zion, amen. We're going to gather around the altar and have prayer. We're going to take up some money for some missionaries, and we're going to have some old-time leather lung preaching and singing and shouting and praising God. You say, that's just outdated. Well, I'm going to tell you, it may be outdated, but thank God it still works. Hallelujah. And we're going to stick with the old stuff. Amen. We're going to do it the way they did it for the last 100 years or more. Isn't that right? And the principles of the past meant something to him. That's what those bones, a leader. Moses was a leader, but he was willing to follow those that had been there before him. I always get bothered when young pastors, young men, young whoever you want to say, want to come in and dismantle everything that has worked for the last 30-something years. I could think of churches tonight where pastors have labored and have an old-fashioned church in it, and God's blessing, and they call some young preacher who I'm sure is a good man, but it seems like his objective is, let's see how much we can change. Let's see how much we can get away from what we have been. I'm telling you, you know, if you have any sense, you just hook up with what's been working. Is that right? I mean, if it worked for you, if it worked 40 years, it'll still work, Brother Ellis, tonight. If it worked in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, it'll still get the job done tonight, amen? And I'll tell you, it's just a whole lot easier to hook up than it is to tear everything apart. I'm just saying tonight, Moses was still willing to follow the command that was given before him, amen? The proclamation of the past meant something to Moses. Joseph had made a statement, and Moses intended on carrying out what Joseph had said. And what's interesting is that neither Moses nor Joseph gets to go into the land of Canaan and enjoy the fruit of that land. But because of their faithfulness, others did. I'm saying tonight we have a great responsibility. Young people, you have a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Moms and dads, we have a great responsibility. We should never just sit in church. And I don't think I'm preaching to a crowd like that tonight, but if there is somebody here, I hope you get under deep conviction right now while I'm preaching this. We ought to never sit in church and say, well, what time is it? I know it's Wednesday night. Y'all know what time I quit, unless I don't feel led. I don't want to stay. You know, I don't want to stay at church all night if God ain't here. But I don't ever want to get to the place on Wednesday night where you just come in, you sit down, and say, let's just get this thing over with. You know, if I'm gone and Brother Grant's here preaching, I don't know how it is when I'm not here. I hope it's better when I'm not here than when I am here. But don't ever come to church and say, well, preacher's not here. I reckon we'll just kind of get through. No, you need to have more than preacher religion. Somebody say amen. You say, well, you're gone somewhere. I wish I'd trade places with you in a heartbeat. Your loyalty should always be to Jesus. We come to church. It's a privilege to go to church. It's not a right. Am I telling the truth? It's a privilege to hear the Word of God on a Wednesday night. I know churches tonight that they don't have a preacher, and so they some of them meet on a Wednesday night, and they get a they pull something up off the internet, or they get a cassette or a CD, and they sit down and they play it because they can't get a preacher to come and pastor, and they're in an area where there's nobody to call to come over and preach to them. And here we are in the house of God tonight in a Bible Belt. I'm telling you, I never want to go to church and take it for granted. Amen. I'm telling you, there's been some Wednesday nights when the high winds of heaven just passed by. I wish they'd blow. I wish the high winds of heaven would blow tonight, wouldn't you? And it just turned this place upside down. You say, can God do that? Oh, sure he can. Amen. He knows how to stir these old bones. He knows how to get these bones back where it needs to be. And when I see the bones of Joseph, it represents a leader, Moses, who was willing to follow what had been passed down tonight. That I'll say also tonight, we find them again in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 32. And these bones, they represent a life of faithfulness. They represent a leader who would follow. But they also represent a land of fruitfulness. Because in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, they've entered the land of promise. They've come to the place. And the Bible says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem." You know, Shechem was the first place that Abraham built an altar when he went into the land of promise. It was the place where Jacob dwelt and settled down. And there Joseph now is being buried. It's a land of promise. Canaan would be a land of plenty, and it would eventually be a land of peace and prophecy. God is not done with that land tonight. Amen. And it was a land of fruitfulness that is given, and they buried Joseph there in that land. And it represents tonight, Canaan represents the spirit-filled Christian life. Amen. You say, what does that have to do with us in 2025? I'll tell you what it has to do with us tonight is that you and I don't have to live in the wilderness. Amen. If God has brought us up out of Egypt, he's brought us up out of this world, he's let us cross the Red Sea, thank God. We've experienced the power of his salvation, and thank God he's led us through the wilderness. But he doesn't want us to live in the wilderness wandering in our Christian life. I tell you what he wants out of us. He wants us to cross the Jordan, that's dying out to ourselves. He wants us to go down to Gilgal, have the reproach of Egypt taken away, and thank God if we'll do that. God said, I'll win every battle for you. I'll fight every enemy for you. I'll give you a land that, thank God, you can live a life. Jesus called it this, rivers of living water, amen, would flow out of your belly, hallelujah. You can live a spirit-filled, fruitful life for the glory of God. Tonight, that's what these bones represent. They've carried them for 40 years. You have to know that some Israelite said, why are we carrying these bones around? How would you like to carry a coffin for 40 years? I'm sure some of them despised Joseph. But you know, they didn't get in. Only two of them that come out of Egypt crossed over. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a lot of people that are saved. Oh, they've come out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. But Canaan means nothing to them tonight. Are you satisfied at just being saved? Are you satisfied at just going to a good church? Young people, look at me tonight. Do you want to be spirit-filled? Because you can be. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be middle-aged. We need some spirit-filled teenagers. And I think we got some. I think we got some. We got some spirit-filled moms and dads. We got some spirit-filled young adults. But we need some more, don't we? You know why I call on you to testify? I want you to get closer to God. I want you to worship the Lord. But there'll come a day when the preacher won't have to call on you. You ever taste and see the Lord is good? Don't you know that when Joshua and Caleb come back with that report, while some were seeing giants, they saw grapes. They had tasted of a land. that motivated them to believe God. That no matter how big they are, no matter how many they are, we've seen what's on the other side. And God is able, and we're able through God. I'm going to tell you, you can't live for God in yourself. You can't live for God in the flesh. But if you open this Bible, you say, what is this Bible? It's Canaan, friend. There's going to be giants every day you walk out there. The enemy's bigger than we are. And the enemy, I'm talking about the world tonight and the devil and the flesh, it's bigger than all of us. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll open this Bible, I'm going to tell you what. And if you'll taste and see that the Lord is good, there's some nourishment on the inside that'll strengthen the inner man and give you the faith to say, you know what, I can't, but He can. Thank God you can live in Canaan. You can live in victory. Hallelujah. There's victory tonight. These bones represent a land of fruitfulness. And let me close with this tonight. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. They represent not only a land of fruitfulness and a leader who would follow in a life of faithfulness, but they represent a legacy of faith. Because when we come to Hebrews 11 and verse 22, that's what the chapter's about. There's a legacy in this chapter of men and women who tonight they were ordinary men and women. But what made them so great and what was the cause of them being recorded in this chapter was they left behind a legacy of faith in God. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Jacob. You know, I'm glad. I don't know what you preached last week on that, but I was preaching on it Monday night and I thought, you know, I'm glad for everything that Jacob was. And I mean, he was a scoundrel, a liar, a deceiver, a trickster. But when we get to Hebrews 11, God ain't talking about any of those things. God's talking about his faith. Everything that Jacob wasn't was overshadowed by his faith in God. We've all been a trickster. We've all been a deceiver. We've all been a Jacob in our life. But by faith Isaac, by faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Rahab. I'm talking about another's. How is a legacy of faith? You say, Brother Gravely, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying tonight. When we come to verse number 22, we see faith in the early years of his life. But we see faith in the enduring years of Joseph's life, the hardships, the trials. But how about in the ending years? When the Bible said, by faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning what? His bones. Joseph left behind not the wealth of Egypt, not the hardships of life, but what he left behind to his family, to his brothers, was a legacy of faith. And here we are in 2025 tonight. And what Joseph has left behind to me and you is a legacy of faith. You know, Brother Ellis, I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking about the Northfield and Moody's graves. I was thinking about their standing there at those two graves of him and his wife. I never met D.L. Moody. I never shook his hand, never heard him preach in person, never heard his voice. I never met Moody. But every time I would be up in that area close enough by, I always would go by that grave and stand there. It was amazing to just walk through the house where he was born and just right down the hill there, the house where he died. You say, why would you go see the grave of somebody you never met? To stand over their bones. Of someone that never, they don't even know you exist. I'll tell you why. Because when I look at that grave, what I see is a legacy of faith. What draws people to Moody's grave or Spurgeon's grave or some great person? It's not them. It's they left behind a legacy that they believe God. You know, I tell you, when it comes time to die, if I don't go in the rapture and my family comes by the casket, if I can leave anything, I won't leave a lot of wealth. I won't leave some big name. But I'd like to leave behind a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith. I'd like to leave behind a life of faithfulness. I'd like for them to come by. Wouldn't you like for your children to come by and say, you know, my dad was a leader who followed God. My mother, she walked with God. I'd like to leave behind something that's attached to faith, because that's really the only thing that matters when you leave this life. When Moody lay in his bed dying, at the age of 62, he made these famous words, these famous statements. He said, earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. His boy spoke out. He said, no, no, Father, said Moody's son, you're dreaming. He said, I'm not dreaming, replied Moody. I've been within the gates. I've seen the children's faces. And his last words were, this is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. What did he leave behind? He left behind a legacy of faith. I've seen those words right over the mantle where he died in that little room. Those very words are still hanging there. Tonight, that's what we need to leave behind. The bones of Moody still speaks to us. The bones of Joseph still speaks to us tonight. You know, you're here on a Wednesday night. You've worked hard. You've come to church. Some of you may be sitting here tired in body. And sometimes the devil will come by and say, why does it really matter? Why come to church every Wednesday night? Why do you got to do all that every week? Why do you have to come to that church? And I mean, sometimes through the rain, some through the dark times of the year. Because you're leaving behind a legacy. You see, because you're faithful, there's hope your children will be faithful. People that don't go to church on Wednesday night, their children ain't going to church on Wednesday night. You pass the ball field and they got them out there on the ball field on Wednesday night, they're not going to go to church and live for God. You know, on Sundays, you don't take them to the lake, the deer stand, the racetrack. You don't do that. No, you take them to the house of God. Am I right about that? Somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters a whole lot in the end, doesn't it? How we've lived. And I'm not talking about just in our souls. I'm telling you, friend, how you live has a lot to do with how you die. A whole lot. And tonight as we stand, you may be here tonight and say, Brother Gravely, I want to be faithful to God. If you hadn't been faithful, you ought to get on this altar tonight and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful.